Today is session 14 of the Identify Your Ideal Career Path Coaching Group. I can't believe it's already the 14th call. It is Thursday, June 11th. And so far, I know that we have Stacy and Angie on the call. Has anyone else joined us? Okay, so there's a couple of things that I wanted to bring up today before we dive into the agenda. So let me say what is on our agenda today too. Sorry, I get tongue tied because sometimes I think faster than my mouth works. So today is about the culture and environment portion of the model, and we're going to do the ideal work environment visualization together. And we're going to start on the compensation section of the model, which is the last piece here. So it's compensation and thinking about that in terms of salary, which is obviously very important, and also your benefits. You know, what kind of benefits do you want to have? Do you like the idea of having summers off, flex time, those kinds of things too? So that's where we are on the model. Today will be the last day that we're specifically focusing on one particular aspect of the model, because next week we're going to start to look at themes across it so that you guys are really narrowing down your ideas here. So let me say a couple of things first, because this has just really hit home for me in the past few weeks with clients and talking to people. I want to remind you guys of a few things. So the first one is that this process takes time. And I think that people on this call, in this group, everyone's at different stages of progress here, because it's partially because people start out at different points, and some people had stuff come up, like LaToya got a different new job, and she had to go train for that, you know, so some of you didn't have as much time as you might have liked to spend time on certain homework assignments. And so I want you to know that that's okay and that it's normal, and really take advantage of the last few sessions that we've got scheduled together, because we've got four more, to really get yourself caught up and ask any questions that you need to ask. But at the same time, I don't want you guys to feel bad about, well, I wish I was further along, you know, because I truly believe that things happen for a reason. And remember that you've got the recordings of these calls and materials that can help you move forward, too. Let me pause for 1 second. I heard a beep. Who's joined us?
This is Paul.
Hey, Paul. Welcome.
Hi. Sorry I'm late.
That's okay. Glad you're here. So we're just talking about how this is a process that takes time and unfolds, Paul, and, you know, that everybody might feel like they're at different phases of their job search and thinking about career ideas and that kind of thing. And to know that number one, that's okay. I mean, I've had people in the group I had one person once who had a new ideal job halfway through the group. And I've had other people who are still figuring it out, you know, kind of close to the end, like some of you guys are. And I just want you to know that that's normal, because this isn't a scientific thing. You know, I had a client last week say to me, you know, at the beginning of this process, Hallie, I wanted to know all the steps I was going to take, and I wanted to know exactly how to figure this out, kind of like I'm going to take a career test, and it's going to tell me what I want to do, right? And when you're identifying your ideal career, it really isn't very scientific, okay? Like, we have these career tests out there, but, you know, as Paul and I think it was Angie mentioned last time, with the MAP assessment, like several of the career ideas you had no interest in, right? So keep in mind that this process, it really needs to unfold naturally for you. And there's a lot of thinking that you need to be doing. And just know that, you know, the pieces will come together for you the more information you get and the more you keep going on your path to figure it out. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
Paul and Stacy, are you cool?
Yes.
Makes sense? Okay. So I'm going to use me as an example for a second. It took me 2 years. If you looked at my situation from being unhappy in my job to, I'm going to say, getting started on my coaching courses, not even like having my own coaching business, that was about 2 years. Because I was unhappy at my job, and it took me at least 6 months to get up the gumption to quit it, right? And then I had a transition period of about 6 months where, you know, I didn't have a job. I was doing temp work. And then I was taking some coaching courses and that kind of thing before I could even start my business. And so after that, it was you add on 2 more years to get my business started. So if you looked at my career transition all told, it was 4 years. Okay? And I'm not saying this to, like, tell you guys it's going to be, like, 4 or 5 years before you make this happen. That's not it. The point is that you got to give yourself time to do this and understand that it's a process and that it's going to unfold and that's kind of how it works. And there is no magic button to push to tell you what the ideal is. Does that make sense? I mean, what comments or questions do you guys have?
I think I've made my peace with it, but I wish it were different.
Okay. Thanks, Angie, for being honest. Like, what do you wish was different?
I wish I could, you know, take a test or go through a few steps and someone say, this is the perfect job for you. And if I could, if I had that answer, then I feel like I could just commit to it and take the steps to get there.
Yeah. So, Angie, what would you say would be the pros and cons of that? Because there are pros and cons of somebody else just telling you what to do. And anybody else actually can jump in here, too.
I guess the pros would be, at this point, I feel like one of the struggles has just been to commit to a step, maybe commit to a certain direction.
Yeah.
So that there would be a lot of relief, I think, for me in doing that. And then I've never been able to just reconcile myself to, you know, this might be the decision for this 10-year period, and then I might have to go through this process or a version of it again because I'll change. So.
Okay. So those are the pros of it. Like having somebody else kind of, it makes it shorter and easier, right?
Yeah, and more definitive.
And more definitive. What would you guys say the cons are for somebody telling you what to do?
I guess for me, the cons would be that I probably, ultimately, I'm the only person who really knows that answer.
Yeah. That's kind of a big one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Paul and Stacy, what do you guys think?
Go ahead, Stacy.
Nice, Paul. Pretty sly.
You know, I guess I agree pretty much with what Angie was saying there also. I mean, as far as cons, you know, like, for example, my dad constantly tells me what I need to do with my life career-wise is get into sales, and every single time he tells me that. And I had a sales career. I didn't love it. I mean, I know there's lots of different types, but I'm not completely anti it. But, you know, he feels like he knows you really well, and that would be the perfect thing. But like Angie was saying, like, you really only know for yourself going to be the best match for you. And also, I think, you know, down the road I am going to change too, so what I think is the perfect thing for me right now hopefully will last for a few years, because it took a while to get to this point, so
I know.
In another few years I don't know what it'll be.
Totally. So Stacy, thanks, it's perfect. And Paul, I'm going to pick on you in a second.
Oh no.
So Stacy, you're pointing out something perfect, because people will do this. They'll say, oh, I think you should do this or whatever. But they're just probably picking up on, like, one aspect of your personality. They don't really know, right? So the thing that I want you guys to get is that I'm just trying to think of how to best describe this. I guess it would be my ballpark analogy that even if you decide, say, in 5 years or something, that you're not, like, that you need to make some changes or adjustments, what we want for you from this group is to at least be in the ballpark. So, like, I'll use me as an example. So I started out as a career coach, and all I did for, say, the first, I don't know, 5 years or something was individual coaching. That was it. And I'm going to start moving away from that more because I'm getting tired of it. I want to do some other things. And so for me, like, you could say, yeah, okay, I found my path for 5 years, but now I want to change it a little bit. But the point is that I love what I do. Like, the baseline of what it is I'm doing, career coaching or coaching even, I want to still do that. It's just I want to do it in a different way. And so I'm in the ballpark. I'm not going to suddenly go be a dentist. Okay. And so this is, come on, you guys, laugh. Give me some laughter here.
I can see you being a
dentist. I don't know. Yeah, I thought that's an absurd idea.
I'd be a great dentist. I actually, you know, it's kind of weird, but I have thought about that in the past. It is not the career path for me, but it has crossed my mind. But you guys are hilarious. But the point is, and this is what I think is going to be true for you guys because of the work that you have done here, is that even if, say, in 5 years you decide you need a change, it probably won't be that dramatic. Like, yeah, you might need to change jobs or maybe even industries, but it shouldn't be that dramatic. Do you see what I'm saying? Does that make sense? That you're in this ballpark here and it should be kind of the same thing. So, like, the other thing I can use as an example, too, is for me with coaching. So when I started out as a coach, I did not know I wanted to work with people on career. I was coaching anybody on anything, to be honest, because I just wanted to get some clients to get my business started, right? So for me, my career has already evolved over time in those two ways, in terms of I'm focusing on career now. I'm focusing on, you know, people who are younger. I'm not focusing on people who are going, you know, going to retire next year. That's a change, too. And I also am going to start, you know, working on providing more products for people and doing more group coaching and training and workshops instead of the individual. Okay? So your career is going to change and evolve, but it shouldn't be like all of a sudden you're going to go be a dentist or something like that. That probably won't happen. So I don't want you to worry about that as much. Okay? So, Paul, tell me what you think about, you know, the pros and cons of somebody else telling you what to do versus you figuring it out and you knowing. Anything else you can think of?
Well, I think that you can take advice, but ultimately it's up to each individual to make their own decision using the best advice and the best research that they've done as to what they think is the best option. You know, it's interesting, though, people who know you really well can shed some light on areas of your personality that you may not have thought of or give you some ideas of things to think about. I've always been, like my mom is always telling me, you need to go to law school.
Yeah.
need to be a lawyer. Just go. And I just have never bit the bullet to do that. And but there is certainly, you know, quite a bit of thought that I've given to going down that route, and a lot of the routes that I'm looking at are very similar to that. So
yes.
There is something to be said about listening to people close to you if they see something in your personality or your skills or talents that you have.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you have to make the decision, and it's up to you to do that.
Yeah, so you kind of have to, like, filter it, right, Paul?
Sure.
Yep. That's exactly the way I describe it, thanks, that this is a way, and actually this is part of what we're going to talk about in our next session, is brain. Now that you guys have some careers to consider and you've started to come up with a list here, you need to start narrowing them down, okay? And I want you to have like a list of one or two, three at the most, of career ideas here. And one of the ways, though, to help you narrow them down is talking to friends and family and brainstorming, like, hey, this is what I'm thinking. What do you think? Do you have any other ideas? Which of these do you think would be best? Because at this point, this is a really good time to do that because you know enough about yourself. See, this is what's key here. If you guys now know enough about yourselves that if somebody says something to you that they think is a good idea for you, you can be like, oh, no, that isn't a good idea because I've done this work, okay? So there's a difference between asking people their opinion and advice at the beginning of this group versus now, because now you have that filter in place to say, oh, you're probably picking up on my, you know, like Stacy, for you, your great personality and ability to talk to people easily and be comfortable, make people comfortable. You know, that's good for sales. Maybe that's what your dad's picking up on. But you now know enough about yourself to say, no, Dad, that is not going to be a fit. And maybe you knew that beforehand, but the point is that this filter is here. Do you see what I'm saying, guys? So you can kind of take what you think is valuable about what they're saying and leave the rest, and it's not going to get you off track. Does that make sense? Give me some yeses or uh-huh. Okay. All right. So I wanted to point that out because this is very much a, you know, you're going to have some kind of aha moment, or like this, one of my colleagues calls it, she calls it a big yes moment, when you're like, oh, yeah, this is the right fit, I'm on the right track. And one of my clients last week, who I just finished with, she actually wants to pursue a career path that she considered like 5 years ago, but she had made an assumption about it that it was mostly sales, and that's not what she wants to do. But now that we've done this work and she's looked into that job path, that career path further, she now knows that that actually would be a really good fit for her. So you just never know what's going to come out of this. Okay? So you really just got to be, you need to be open to it and understand that as much as we might like it to be scientific and easy in that sense, that it's very organic and you have to let things unfold and just stay focused on getting information from people, you know, researching your ideas, that kind of thing. All right, so we have 4 more sessions left, like I said before, and these are the last couple of pieces of the model that we're going to work on. The next things that we are going to do is to start to talk about narrowing your career ideas down and also talking about gremlins and negative beliefs that may block you from making this happen. And we're also going to get into the planning phase for what you need to do next to get started on your ideal career path, okay? So just to give you a sense of where we're going here in our last few sessions. And know, too, that the way that I run these groups is if a majority of the people want to continue with the group beyond what we've been doing now to get support, whether it's one session a month or two, that I offer that as an option. So we'll talk about that later, but it's just food for thought for you guys. All right, so let's move to successes learning challenge. Any successes learnings, cool things to share? Don't be shy. Stacy, I know you have one. Will you give us the bottom line on why it was cool talking to this woman?
I'm trying to think of, like, what was the biggest part of talking to her, but I had an interview with a woman who was the vice president of an international marketing division, and that's exactly what I'm interested in getting into, international marketing. And I guess what was probably most interesting for me is figuring out how she got into it and her advice of how to get into it. And she had worked at this one company for 23 years, and, you know, she admitted that that's pretty odd, but she, within that company, had changed positions a lot. She started in sales, worked in marketing, and she said she took as many projects as she could possibly take. Anything that was offered, she always took, and she really liked the marketing aspect of it, and there was this job, this international portion of it, and so she moved up to California, took the job, and now she actually owns her own consulting firm, but she's been on the medical device side of it. But she really gave the advice of that it's been good that I've had the advertising experience, because you will have, you know, it's good to see it from that perspective, but she strongly encouraged me now moving on to the client side, and also that it's hard to sometimes jump right into international marketing, but to start some – oh, this, I guess this is the biggest thing, but when I'm looking for marketing jobs, but to find somebody that – a company that has an international presence.
Yeah.
So that when I you know, big companies that have some sort of presence over there, so I probably will have to start somewhere maybe in sales or marketing, but from day one, always let them know that my end goal and my desire is to work in international marketing. Just do your best job there, and then hopefully there'll be another opening there, or at least you're getting your client marketing experience, and you can move on somewhere else.
Perfect. That's good. So a path is kind of unfolding before you on how to make this happen.
Yeah.
Like, this could be a step, and then you let them know, that kind of thing. Perfect,
yes.
Stacy.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. Any questions or comments for Stacy about her informational interview?
How did you identify that person?
I found her through the UGA alumni directory.
Okay.
And there's just some people that have registered there, and I just did a search of global marketing, and I emailed everyone, and two people responded. I mean, there weren't a ton of people on there for global marketing because it is pretty, like, a niche field. There were maybe, like, 15, but out of the 15, two people responded. And I even emailed some other people that worked for marketing in Coke. So,
Good.
That's great.
It's good.
I initially started looking on LinkedIn, but if you're not networked directly with someone on LinkedIn, you have to pay to be able to contact them.
Yes.
So that's why I was trying to look for the free services. But that might be something I might look into to try to get more opportunities, because these informational interviews, I think it, I really liked it. And when there's a company that I'm interested in looking for, once I have this conversation, like, she automatically, at the end of this conversation, she wanted to help me network as much as possible. And that was also her suggestion as far as getting hired somewhere. She was telling me, you know, groups to join, and because she was saying when you join these groups, it's not necessarily the people who you meet in the group, but the people that they know.
Yes, that's perfect.
So, but, I mean, she was about to help me out. You know, the company she worked for, Baxter, she said, you know, if you want anything there, she's like, I know some people that work there. I'd be happy to pass your resume along, and, you know, any place you go interview at, especially if it's in the medical world, she's like, I might know people. I'd be happy to pass your information. And she didn't know me. I mean, we knew each other by one conversation.
Yeah, that's awesome, Stacey. Good. Mm-hmm. That's great. So it's informational, but it's also a good contact for you.
Right.
That's perfect. Any other comments or questions for Stacey?
But I want to say the one scary thing, and I was telling Hallie about this, but I happened to ask her what she thought her balance was between work and personal life, and she basically said she had much more of a work life, that she never worked an eight-hour day. The one person there that worked from 8 to 5 was let go after, like, 3 months.
Wow.
So, yeah, it kind of scared me because I am looking for a job where I can still do this international marketing, but still be able to do some acting on the side as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of scared me.
Well, so this is where, like, maybe doing international marketing for a different kind of company or in a different industry might be better. It's going to depend. So it's really good for you to know that, because this is kind of a little red flag for you to take note of.
Yeah, definitely.
And it goes along with the culture and environment that we're talking about today, too, that's like, okay, so just make a mental note. And then continue to ask people that same kind of question to see if you can find a place that's a little bit less like that. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. All right, so any challenges that you guys are having, any questions you need help with before we move to what we're going to do today?
I'm just going to shoot out a challenge as well. I don't know if this is something you can directly help us with, Hallie, or maybe give us some more tips on, but...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was really energized and pumped after talking to her, and I went back to looking at the job boards, and I started looking on LinkedIn as a resource for job listings, and, you know, I found a great marketing job for a company that had an international presence, and I wanted to apply for it, and I did, but I still feel like my resume and my cover letters are very weak.
Okay.
So I know you gave us that example of one, but the example... It was like an architect who had a lot of experience,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm a marketing person who does not have a lot of experience. I just don't know. I don't know if I'm being the best, if I'm really showing the best,
putting
my
your
best
foot forward.
Yeah.
Okay. So with lack of experience or less experience, there's two things I can say, and then I suggest hiring a resume writer to revise your resume, because I can give some good advice, but I'm not an expert in, you know, revamping it completely. So one thing is, most people tend to lay their resume out in chronological order, but there's also another way that's called functional resume, where you list your relevant experience first. So it's not in order of jobs that you've had. It's in order of relevant experience. So there's a little bit of digging around to be had and thinking about, remember when we talked about transferable experience and skills, you've got to really be savvy about, okay, you know, what other things have I done that might not have been called marketing per se, but they could be relevant to this position.
Because I was having to pull a lot of that in because, you know, I am working at an ad agency, but unfortunately I have a very, very small niche responsibility. I'm a print buyer, and I think if people look at that as a print buyer, when I move into marketing, it's a lot more responsibilities that I've been exposed to and I have had a little bit of experience with, but my main function has been as a print buyer. I just feel like I'm going to need to express a lot of those transferable experiences.
Yeah, you're going to need to do a lot, and that's okay. I mean, because this is the best that you can do, and, you know, it's normal, like, that people are, you might feel like you're grasping at straws a little bit or revamping things enough so that you can, you know, present it in the right way, but that's okay. That's what you have to do. So try the functional resume, doing it that way. And there was something else that I was going to say, too. The transferable skills, the functional, and I think in your cover letter, I don't like people to say, like, flat out, call out, I don't have a lot of experience in this area, you know.
Right, I don't think that's a positive light.
Yeah, so it needs to be more positive and saying, this is my relevant experience. My background is in XYZ, and my relevant experience is this, and speak directly to what the position, what they're looking for, okay. And then if you still feel like you need heavy resume editing, there's resume writers on my website under free tools, career resources. There's resume writers.
How expensive
writers.
Is that? You know, like a ballpark figure?
Yeah, let me think.
About $250.
Good. Thanks, Paul.
I had the one writer that you have on there, Miriam.
Yeah, Paul used Miriam.
She was fabulous. She took my resume and really did a bang-up job.
Do you feel like you got more responses with your new resume?
Yes. More, and it wasn't so much the content, though she did spend about an hour with me on the phone to interview me. But it was more the layout and making it look more appealing and more visually appealing, I guess.
Like it catches your eye and it's almost more professional.
It looks really sharp now.
Yeah. It's weird because you would say, I mean, content is important, but when I look at somebody's resume, like, you know, I went to a speech on Tuesday and he showed me his resume, I was like already bored. I didn't even look at, you know, but it was like, oh. It did not make me feel like, ooh, he's somebody I want to talk to, and I know that's unfair, but I can see how an employer would be like, oh, do I have to read through this?
Yeah.
It makes a difference. So the visual appeal as well as the content is important. Thanks, Paul. That's perfect. So, yeah, I mean, I think that people are – that around $250 is a reasonable rate. I think one of the other people on my site, she might be like $275 or something like that, but they're hands down worth it because it makes a really big difference. And in this economy, and when you're trying to kind of get into an industry that you don't have as much experience, that money is well spent.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got kind of those two, you know, roadblocks or obstacles.
Okay.
Does that answer?
Yes.
For the moment? Okay, good. All right. Any other challenges that you guys have? I know we're going to probably just get to the visual today and that's it, but I want to make sure I answer any questions. Any other challenges you guys have? Okay. All right. So let's go to ideal work environment. And I asked you all to start on this for homework. And what I'd like to do, though, together is to really get you into give you a good visualization here to make sure that you've covered all your bases in terms of these different areas when you're thinking about your ideal work environment. Okay? So, put everything down for me because I want to do, this is a visualization like the guided meditations that we've done already. So put your stuff down and I want you to get into a comfy position for me. And if anybody is in a place where their space might get loud, go ahead and *6, mute yourself for a moment. So get into a comfortable position and either allow your eyes to close or just look at the floor or the ceiling, whatever is most comfortable for you. And just allow your mind to let go of the stresses of your day. Focus on your breath. And notice the rhythmic sound of your breath for a couple of moments, concentrating on nothing but the lull of your breath and the sound of your heartbeat. Now take in a long, deep breath for me, filling your lungs to capacity. And as you exhale, empty your lungs completely, releasing with it the stresses of the day. Feel the tension leave those special areas in your body where you tend to hold your tension, like your neck, shoulders, and upper back. Take in another long, deep breath, filling your lungs completely, and now exhaling forcefully and completely, releasing any negative thoughts or remaining tension. Feel the tension flowing down through your arms, out through your hands, and the tips of your fingers, and feel yourself sinking into your chair. In this meditation, you are going to begin to define your ideal work environment through a series of questions I will ask you to consider. When I ask you specific questions, just notice what answers come up first for you in these questions right away. Go with your first thoughts, your gut instinct. And know that it's okay if you don't get an answer right away. Trust that one will come to you eventually. As we progress through the meditation, if you hear or are distracted by any outside noises, just notice them and then let them float away again, returning your focus to your breathing. Now, I invite you to think first about your career values. Those values that you came up with at the beginning of our group. See those values pop into your mind and begin to notice how they will exist in your ideal work environment. First, think about how they will exist in your ideal physical space. Do you have big windows in your ideal workspace? If you have a value of nature, bright or more soothing colors for a value of peace. Or maybe you have lots of art on your walls for a value of beauty. Notice whatever comes to mind first based on your career values. Next, consider how your career values will show up in the people at your ideal workplace. What kind of people work here? Are they friendly and open? More professional and hardworking, keep to themselves. Go with whatever comes to mind first. How will your career values show up in your coworkers? And finally, with your career values, think about your ideal culture. What's the environment, the culture of the place that you would ideally like to work in? Is it high energy and bustling? Or more low-key and peaceful? Next, let's think about your ideal workspace in greater depth. What is the location of your office? How close is it to your home? And is it in an urban environment or suburb and more woodsy and natural? Do you get to travel as part of your job, so you're in and out of the office, a combination of both? And now go to the office itself, your workspace. What kind of design does it have? Is it more contemporary or more traditional or eclectic? Look around. What's the layout of your ideal office? Lots of color and things everywhere are more calm and serene. What kind of furniture do you have? Start to create a picture in your mind of what your ideal office would look like. Now, let's think more about the ideal people that you'd like to work with. Think about your personality type here and the type of people you would work best with. What would your ideal coworkers be like? Are they high energy and peppy? Or more nose to the grindstone? Are they creative and out of the box? Or more serious and formal and professional? Or a blend of both. You can even think about the favorite people in your life right now and what qualities about them you like the most and how this might translate to your ideal coworkers. Next, imagine, what kind of culture would be ideal for you? Go into that further. What's the ideal culture for you to work in? What kind of environment? Is it more creative, out of the box, fast-paced, lots of deadlines, people working hard and very busy? Or is it more methodical and organized? Quiet and calm, or a mixture of both? Are there lots of urgent things to take care of? Or is it more methodical project-related work? Are tasks clearly laid out for you and there's a system for things? Or is it more creative and open-ended? Now think about what it feels like for you to work here. When you think about your ideal workplace, what emotions or feelings do you want to have? How do you want to feel about this place? The next thing to consider is your ideal work schedule. And think out of the 9-to-5 box here if necessary. Would you want to work in a place that offers flex time, that allows for a 4-day work week, or for you to work at home sometimes? Do you want to be out of the office a lot, like a salesperson might be, or a blend of in and out of the office? Or do you prefer the structure of set hours with a specific schedule? Does that work better for you? Imagine the ideal work schedule for you. And think here, too, about whether you're a morning or night person and what hours of the day you're most alert and at your best. As part of your work schedule, think about whether you're an introvert or extrovert and how that affects your daily routine. Where do you get your energy from? Is it being alone or with other people? Keep in mind that everyone is a blend of extrovert and introvert. What blend are you? Do you need more alone and downtime or more time with others? What is the ideal scenario for you to blend these for your personality? Is it 50-50, 40-60, or some other combination? Now, let's move to your role at your organization based on your personality type. The types that we talked about, owl, hare, turtle, and squirrel. What role would you play on a team? What role would you play as part of the larger organization as a whole? Think about your past experience. Are you usually the leader or more of a follower? Do you tend to initiate and promote change or implement the change that others have suggested? Are you more of an idea or a process person? Think about what role or roles best suit you and your personality. And finally, the last piece to look at is your tasks and responsibilities. Think here about your skills and natural abilities first. What tasks are you best suited for at an ideal job? What kind of projects, tasks, or ideas would you be working on every day? Would you be working at a computer, talking with people, or outside the office promoting something or training others? Think about the ideal tasks for you and what blend of tasks would best suit you and your personality. Good work here. You guys have looked at a lot in a short period of time, and I want you to know and encourage you to go into this further and think more about your ideal work environment. Use this as a starting point. Take in a deep breath for me and relax to let all of this sink in. And now imagine your ideal environment once more. And breathe in how it feels for you to be here. Breathe it into your body and your being. Now take a look around you to help take this image with you, as well as the feelings you felt during this visualization. Know that you will be able to remember whatever you saw here. And if you didn't see a perfectly clear image, that's absolutely okay. You can continue to develop this image over time as needed. In a moment, I'm going to count from 3 to 1. And at the count of 1, you will be refreshed and alert, able to remember whatever you wish of this inner journey. 3, coming back to present time, becoming more alert and refreshed. 2, moving your head, your fingers, your toes, feeling the space around you. And 1, eyes open, refreshed, and awake again. Go ahead and make some notes for me right now, guys. And also take yourself off mute while you're at it, too. *6. So go ahead and make some notes. And I'm going to talk for a second here, too, because if I don't talk after 30 seconds, the recording stops. Remember, you've got these questions with you as well, so you can review them on your own and with your buddy after this, too. All right, so everybody come back. If you muted yourself, come back for me. And so tell me, what's the biggest thing that you guys saw that stands out in your mind that was either a surprise for you or that just made you feel really good? Whatever it was about your ideal work environment, what was the biggest thing? So, Angie, let's start with you.
Okay. I think that, maybe we've touched on these things before and some of the exercises, but I guess they're becoming more clear.
Okay.
It's just my need to do analysis and focusing on a process,
good,
and then connecting that to food and nutrition.
Good. Okay. And, Angie, how did you feel during this visual when you were imagining it?
To me, it seems very familiar, so I guess that's reassuring that it's consistently been an interest.
Good, and it's comfortable for you.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Okay, great. Paul, how about you?
It's just the work environment is, I just keep seeing myself as a college professor.
Isn't that so funny? It just keeps going back.
I keep going back to a very, doing lots of research in a very quiet environment and mostly working independently, but still having some interaction with my peers and teaching.
Cool. I love it. So for you, it sounds like this was, really validating for you.
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, Stacy, how about you?
I had a couple things come through. One, I really like the flex time idea. And I'm just, not always the most prompt person in general. And sometimes it's just for some odd reason really difficult for me to get to work at the hour that they want me to. And it's only been a real big problem with one job and my employment with them. But this current job, not as bad. But I know I'm a very good worker. And I just, I really like the idea of a job that has, you don't have to be there exactly at 8:30 p.m. and the world won't fall apart.
Yeah, that it's more about you get your work done.
Exactly. And I think I definitely, in my current company, the people I appreciated working with the most were some of the higher-up people in media who you could learn the most from. You could just get that vibe off of them. They're very intelligent people. They know what they're doing. And I think I'd like to be around those types of people again. And also just a company where there's a really good balance and a really nice respect level between the company and its workers.
Mm-hmm.
A company that respects that, if I'm a worker at a company and I'm doing my best to see the success level of this company, that they're going to do their best to reimburse me and to give me as much as they can as well within reasonable means.
Great. Good. I love that. That's really, really good. Okay. So what I want you guys to do... is I want you, so this is one of the homework assignments, is to take what you saw here. So when we get off the phone, if you have time, continue to write about this, everything that you saw. And if you need to do it tonight, that's fine too, and revisit the questions, that's cool. And go ahead and do it with your buddy to fill out the big things that you saw in terms of your career environment and put that on the culture and environment portion of the model, okay? The second piece of this is to then look at your careers to consider and say, okay, so what does this mean in terms of my careers to consider to help you further define? So Stacy, for you, I really would like to work at a place where they have flex time. So this helps you define that a little bit more. Paul, for you, what kind of college environment would be best? Is it a big bustling university or do you feel like, ooh, more drawn to a smaller place? Does it matter? Maybe it doesn't matter. But so... look at your careers to consider and further narrow down, further define those for yourself based on what you saw, okay? So that's the first thing to do with ideal work environment. The second thing I want you to do is what we didn't get a chance to do today is to move to the compensation portion of the model and to start to think about, okay, what's the minimum salary I need here, guys? Okay, and here are the steps I want you to be thinking about for homework. So what's the minimum salary you need to live? Find out, if you don't know already, what are your current monthly living expenses? Do some numbers here. It should just take a moment. So if you don't already know, find out what those are. And create a baseline minimum salary that you need to be making. And by the way, add a little bit of buffer to whatever number you come up with, because we always need a little bit of a buffer, okay? And then if you haven't started doing this, if you have time, and actually we are not, wait, what is today? Yeah, we'll be talking next week. So if you can get started on it for next week, start to look at salary ranges of career paths that you're considering. And I'm guessing that you guys already have some of this information and you already have an idea of what these are. One of the websites that's helpful for this is the website salary.com, because it can give you some salary ranges in different areas of the country even for types of positions you're looking at. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay. And then the last thing to think here is kind of, you've already started to think about this today with the ideal work environment, is what kind of benefits you want to have. And this is where you're thinking about, you know, flex time, like you said, Stacy. And Paul, for you, one of the things that might be appealing is a benefit of being a professor is you have your summers off. So start to fill in this compensation piece of the model in terms of your salary and your benefits. Run some numbers, do some research, and also be thinking about other kind of benefits you want to have, whether it's, you know, you want them to pay for some education, you know, courses. Maybe you want to have a benefit to you as being able to travel a little. Go for the ideal here, what would be really a good fit for you, okay? I will send this homework to you via email as well. Any questions on it before we go? Okay, you guys did great. This was a lot to look at in a short period of time because we did a lot of talking up front. So if you have any questions about ideal work environment, let me know. But like Angie said, some of this stuff is stuff that you already know, and it's putting it more in the box of ideal work environment for you, okay? All right, so we are on same time, same station for next week, the 18th. If you need any help in the meantime, let me know, okay? Any questions before we go?
Nope.
Okay, cool. Get in touch with me if you need help, and if not, I will talk to you guys next week, okay?
Okay.
Thank you very much. Have a great day. Thanks.